is to worship, because our God is truly amazing. He created everything, great and small, and his love for us is incredible, powerful, and completely unconditional. We also spend time looking into his work, the Bible, and receive practical teachings to guide us along his path in our everyday lives. But it doesn't end when the service is over. Throughout the week, we gather in groups to serve, pray, reach out to our community, and sometimes just to hang out and have fun. Life is full of challenges, and none of us are perfect. But we believe that's one of the reasons God has brought us together. We're all here to help and support each other through each step of life's journey, because nobody should have to travel alone. So thanks for joining us today. No matter who you are, we want you to know you are welcome.
Good morning, His Tabernacle Family Church. How are we doing this morning? Excited to worship the Lord? We're all going to just stand up. If you would stand with us, you can come forward if you would like. But we're going to just go right into a time of worship. Who's ready to go their next level in their praise today? You guys excited? Let's go.
Oh,
arms and keep praising Him. Keep lifting His name. He is so good. Thank you, Jesus. Everyone just raise your hands in this building. We're just going to continue to welcome Him and just pray. We thank you, Jesus. Say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for being here. Father, we recognize your presence. We are so thankful that you decided to be in this house today, Father. We exalt your name. We love you, Jesus. We thank you.
I feel it burning like a fire, stronger than before. You are the one that I desire, and I couldn't ask for more. I'm coming back to your presence. I'm coming back to your presence. And there's a hunger and a thirst. I am desperate. Cause there's a hunger and a thirst. I am desperate. Immerse me. And I'm not waiting. Not anymore. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, the one thing that I've found over all these years of doing ministry, it doesn't matter how much you accomplish in life. It comes right down to this. If your relationship with Jesus is stumbling, is struggling, you can't be fulfilled. You can fill your pockets with gold. You can live in the grandest house. You can have everything possible this world can provide. And you'll still be empty. There's only one who fulfills. There's only one who knows you, and only one, when you know him, changes everything about you. You know, I constantly come back to this. This morning, I was up at 5:15 praying, down in my prayer room. This is all I'm praying, ready? Jesus, I just got to know you. I got to know you more. I got to know you more. And you know what's amazing is some people get around me and they'll go, boy, you know God a lot. Oh, but not even close. I got to know more. I got to know more. I got to know more. Tell you, there's so much more he wants to reveal to you about who he is. There's so much of a deeper relationship that he wants to have with you. And truthfully, the greatest fulfillment you're going to have is not in accomplishments that the world sees, but in your prayer closet that he sees. I challenge you, know him more. If you know him more, it will change everything around you. His presence changes atmospheres. His presence changes circumstances. His presence changes attitude. The stronger his presence is, the more he brings into alignment. Because I want to remind you what the anointing is for. We pray for the anointing all the time. Lord, we want a stronger anointing. What do you want the anointing for? The anointing, when you come into the corporate presence, is bringing order to the body so that we all move forward in one direction. But the anointing separately or individually is to bring order to your mind, to your physical body, to your emotions, and to the atmospheres that you step in. See, you're a spirit being. Listen, your physical body's going to pass away, but one thing that's not going to pass away is who you are. The Bible says that God created us in his image and in his likeness. And John 4:24 says, I am a spirit. And those who worship me must worship me in spirit and in truth. So when you understand this, your greatest acceleration has got to be, I've got to know you, Jesus. I've got to know you, Jesus. I've got to know you, Jesus. God, I thank you for how you revealed yourself so far, but not enough. I need more. I need more. Listen, and if you've come to the climax, if you've come to the end, it just shows you're not seeking anymore. Because every time you seek, you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. The Bible says clearly, those who hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. It doesn't matter what your last meal is fulfilled, you're not. The new meal of, I want you. I want you. I want you. He's got a new meal for you. Fresh manna. So I challenge you. This song's got to be your heart, man. I do that one song, Mackenzie. What is that one called all the time that I say that I love?
Lord, I need you?
Yeah. You don't need to sing it.
Okay.
But if you'd like to, you can.
Would you like me to
sing? Yeah, why don't you do that?
Okay.
This is my favorite song. You want to know why? I'll listen to it almost 15 to 20 times. I just hit repeat because it can't be in my head. It's got to be in my spirit. Can we just sing it a few times? You don't mind? Sing it.
Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh, God, how I need you.
Changes everything. That changes everything. How desperate are you for God? We're desperate for a lot of things on this planet, but how desperate are you for Him? I want to challenge you. If your desperation is mild, you know what you need to do is ask Him. God, I need more. God, I need you to give me a greater hunger for you. And you know, He'll deposit that. Why? Because it's not a natural thing, it's a supernatural thing. God hunger is a supernatural deposit by the Holy Spirit. And I challenge you, don't be satisfied. This is one of those places to be greedy. Amen? Greed isn't always bad. I'm greedy for God. With all my getting, I'm getting Him. And you know what? I'll crawl over you to get Him. Because you might not be hungry enough, so I'm going to get past you. It's not about winning. It's just about winning. I got to win my God. Not earn Him. I want Him. If you go after that, you make this your prayer, then everything else around you, you can accomplish the greatest, greatest things. And they're good. But when you got God, you're satisfied. Amen. Satisfaction is a heck of a lot better than getting. Amen. Now listen, I don't mind having nice things. I like nice things. But you can wear the nicest rings, the nicest watches. You can have the nicest clothes on and go out and get stained. Then what do? I got my favorite jeans on right now. I got out in the car this morning, looked down, and there is a stain on these jeans. My wife says, I can fix them. I said, but I'm wearing them. Yeah. I'm sorry, they're my favorite jeans. But you see, if this is my worth, I'm doomed. Because I got a stain. But you know what? My worth is Jesus. And I'll stand up here whole, satisfied. In stained jeans, wearing a Rolex watch. Amen. Because I'm happy in Jesus. Because I know who my God is. Amen. Can you say, can you go on your way back to your chair? Can you tell five or six folks, I'm chasing after God with everything I got. On your way back to your chair, meet some people you don't know. Don't just go to the folks you do know. Go to people you don't know and say, I'm going after God with everything I got. You still have 2 minutes. That means you got to be nice to at least two more people. Find somebody you don't know and say, good morning. You look just marvelous today.
Wow, that heartbeat makes it so intense.
Listen, we have Next Steps classes happening every single week. Every Tuesday night, 7 p.m., Wednesday morning at 9 a.m., and Thursday night at 6 p.m. right here at the Horse Head Campus. We're also holding them on Thursday night up in Ithaca at 6 p.m. So make sure you join the Next Steps class.
See if you're on a group set, we can get you a group worker.
Oh, wow. Okay, here it is. 3, 2, 1.
Hey, listen, family, if you have yet to connect into a group, make sure you get connected. We are a family and we're gonna go together. So make sure you come and see us at the group desk in the foyer and sign up for a group. Wow, okay, you know what? I'm done.
Everybody, our next baptism service is April 28th. You do not want to miss it. It's going to be so powerful. Get signed up in the foyer and get your breakthrough.
My name is Pastor Michael Spencer, and this is my beautiful wife, Rhonda. We're the senior pastors of His Tabernacle Family Church.
We want to invite you and your family to our Easter weekend. Saturday, April 20th at 10 a.m. is our annual helicopter egg drop. And then on Sunday morning, 9 and 11 a.m., our production, Truth Exposed, with a kids' choir and petting zoo.
We'll see you in just a little bit.
Oh, man, pastor's calling somebody. They must... Oh, he's calling Pastor Dan. Hey, guys, thank you so much for being at church. Anybody having a good day? Come on, a little bit of participation from the back, please. Is everybody having a good day? Yeah, see, it's just so much better that way. It makes me feel good. But, hey, we're so excited about Palm Sunday. We're so excited that Easter is next week. And maybe this is your first week. We want to make sure you have all of your questions answered, that you don't feel uncomfortable. So real quick, if that's you, we have a gift for you. And we also have a guest reception right after this service on this side. So if this is your first week, will you shoot your hand up in the air so we can bring you a gift real quick and we can bless you? And come on real quick. Go ahead and put your hands together for them real quick, guys. Awesome. Thank you so much for being here. As a family, we really value it. We know it sometimes it's difficult and little, you have no idea what you're getting yourself into. So here we are, and it's going to just get better. If you're watching on live, thank you for interacting with the service by sharing, commenting, inviting a friend to watch. But guys, we have Easter in 7 days. Also, we have our egg drop in 6 days. 2 years ago when we had our helicopter, there were almost 2,000 people here. And we're so excited because we know this year is going to be such an amazing opportunity to share the gospel with thousands of people. So I want to encourage you. We're giving away a TV to everyone that pre-registers. You can do that right on histabernacle.com. Well, to one person that pre-registers. Everybody. No, broken promises. I'm leaving the church. Broken promises. But honestly, we're so excited about it to see all of these people get to come, hear the gospel, enjoy themselves, and be invited for Sunday service. Now, if you're planning on being here Sunday service, plan to be here early. Last year, cars were all the way at the top of the driveway, and we're really believing this year that the foyer will be standing room only, that in here there's going to be no seats. We'll kick the teenagers out, make them sit on the ground. But so people can hear the good news of Jesus. But can I tell you, it doesn't happen because we announce it from the pulpit as pastors. What happens is we see that when we get passionate in our spirit, when we say, you know what, I have friends and family members, there's people I know that I work with that don't yet have a church or don't yet serve Jesus Christ. We call them Easter, we call them Creasters in good fun because they generally show up on Christmas or Easter. But make sure we invite them as well, because you never know what the gospel can do with one invitation.
I just want to give a testimony. How many of you like great news? Amen. Last week there were over 20 people born again within His Tabernacle Family Church. 2 weeks before that, 25 people were born again at His Tabernacle. The week before that, 22 people were born again at His Tabernacle. So that's in 4 weeks. Pastor Obi with Remnant Bible College, our Bible school, has been down in Houston, Texas. And in this last week, 100 people have given their hearts to Jesus Christ. Already this week, right here on Wednesday night, 9 children gave their hearts to Jesus Christ.
3 on Thursday.
I don't know. It sounds like the angels are out.
3 on Thursday.
3 more on Thursday. It sounds like the angels are out shouting you. Don't let the angels outshout you. Can I hear an amen? Amen.
So with that being said, we have invitations on your seat to give to friends, family members, your worst enemies, random people at Walmart, maybe their car as well. But no, don't do that. I'm kidding. Don't do that. It's horrible. But seriously, we want to see people here so they can hear about Jesus. Amen? 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 In the back? All right, well, try the back one more time real quick. In the back. There we go. There we go. Hey, guys, I'm so excited about today. And before I pass this over to Pastor Spencer, I just want to talk to you about the offering as we prepare to give today. And we're going to go out of Genesis chapter 22. And many of us know the story of Abraham and Isaac. Now, Abraham is the father of our faith, and Isaac was his second son. And his second son was really the son of his promise. It was what God had said he'd give him to make him a great nation, to make him a great influence, that his children would number the stars in the sky. It is powerful because as we start Genesis chapter 22, what we find is God talking to Abraham and saying this, I want you to sacrifice your son to me. Now, sometimes we just nonchalantly read the Bible, but I think if we put ourselves in Abraham's shoes, it's like, okay, you sure? That's a big ask. That's my son. That's who you've promised me. This is a big deal, God. And it is a big deal. You know what the crazy thing is? It wasn't a big deal in that age. Because that's what all of these other people were giving to their false dead gods as a sacrifice, was their children. So really, all God was asking for is, will you give me what other people are willing to give to a false god? Now, we know that God provided a different way, but the Bible says that Abraham woke up the next morning, packed up his son, packed up the wood, packed up everything he needed, and they made their way to the journey. They made their way, and as he's on his way in the journey, he finds the mountain, and when he gets to the base of the mountain to sacrifice his son, which is a big deal, the most valuable thing in the world to him, he looks at his servants, he looks at the donkey, and he says, stay here. Me and the boy are going to worship. See, really, worship is an act, or giving is an act of worship. Obedience is an act of worship. And I think we can all agree that materialism is something we don't want as a part of our life, right? Well, I was reading, and it was really interesting, because one author said that Jewish culture and history was that donkeys would represent materialism. And true obedience and true worship leaves materialism at the base of the hill so we can make the greatest sacrifice. And that's what God has asked from us. And in reality, when we give what God has asked from us, we can take a lesson from Abraham. And Hebrews 11 says that Abraham knew, even if he had to give Isaac, God was faithful to raise him up from the grave. See, a lot of the times when we hear about tithing and giving, it's nerve-wracking because we don't know what's going to happen. Can I tell you? What will happen is when we have the faith of Abraham, what we are willing to sacrifice, God will raise far above what we are able to give. When we give, what we're saying is, God, you're my source. God, you're above my feelings. You're above any of these promises. You're above everything else. God, I trust in you. I don't trust in materials. I don't trust in the donkey. I don't trust in these things. I trust in your word. And the tithe is easy. The tithe is only 10%. Some of us, it's big, but really, God's asking for big because he can do the huge. And when we can lay down what's valuable to us to show him that we honor him and he is the most valuable, he's going to bring us far beyond. Because when he can trust us with the little, he'll trust us with much. See, today, maybe you've never given before. I want to challenge you. Today is the best day to start to show God that you can be trusted with little. Because 10% is honestly small. So you can be trusted with much. And when we lay down those things, God's willing and ready to give us more. Amen? Amen. Let's stand to our feet. I believe that today is the best day to start. I believe today is the best day to be consistent. Not to look at the situations or the moments, but to look at what God has asked. And say, God, I'll sacrifice, even if it's the hardest and the most valuable thing. With your offering above your head. Maybe today is your first day. Maybe you can't start at 10%. Start somewhere today. Pastor Rhonda is going to come out and give the supernatural blessing. But today, Father, I thank you that we are obedient. And Father, as we listen, as we give, we know that you'll trust us with more. So Father, today we declare, you're our provider. You are our source. You are the one that gives us anything and everything. So today we commit the things of value to you so we can show we can be trusted and be trusted with more. In the name of Jesus, can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. According to Deuteronomy 28, let's make our supernatural declaration. It says, if I obey, then I am blessed going in. And I am blessed going out. I am blessed in my storehouse. And I am blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. They've tripped me up. Because I'm a child of God. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Come on and bring your tithes and offerings to the Lord. If you're watching via live stream, you can click on the giving button or text to give right along with us.
Praise the Lord. Are you ready for a message? This is the year of. I can't hear you. This is the year of. Next level. If you're a guest in the house, we have a theme every year. And man, that theme, God works. Last year was the year of divine connections. The seed, for goodness sakes, that was years ago. Divine connections. This year is the year of the next level, how God wants to take you somewhere you've never been before. He wants to bring you higher in all areas of your life. And we started last week on next level relationships. Now, some of you are saying, well, I'm not married. That's okay. You're going to be married someday. Some of you are saying, I'm never going to be married. I did it once already, twice already. I'm done. But you still have relationships. And we started talking last week about how the difference is between a woman and a man. God said he fearfully and wonderfully made us. Amen? And you always know that there is an onslaught against what God has made good. You see, God, after he created man and woman, he called them good. Amen? And the devil loves to take what God has made good and twist it, contort it, and destroy it. And we know that right now there is God created male and female. Amen. Right now, they're saying there are 112 genders. In the Bible, I find there'd be two of them, male and female. That is the plan of God, the heart of God. And even though we want to be, now this is a problem, there are a lot of churches trying to be relevant. Listen, you are not to be relevant to the world as a believer. Amen. We are to be relevant to the Word. The word of God is yea and amen. Not one jot or tittle shall pass away before it's all come to completion. The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. The word of God is truth. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
And the truth will make you free. So the word of God says that there is a male and a female. And what God has joined together, let no man put asunder. God did not put Adam and another male together. He did not put Eve and another female together. He put Adam together with Eve. Male and female. Now some would say, you're a homophobic church. No, absolutely not. We love all people. It doesn't matter. Sin is a sin is a sin is a sin. And if you're a liar and a homosexual, you're going to the same location. I just want you to know it's not a good place. So the point comes down to is God loves every one of us the same. But the truth is that sin, the wages of sin is death. And what God has settled and set forth, we as the believers have to remain strong towards. Or else the world will invade the church and change. We will change God's word to make other people happy. Then the truth can't make them free. So a lot of people are saying, well, Pastor, you know, this is an uncomfortable topic, but we've got to talk about it. Because if you don't talk about it, then the church is dumb about it. Now, what I mean by dumb is, I don't mean dumb in the aspect of dumb. I mean, they're just not taught. It's called ignorance. Two layers of ignorance. One ignorance is, I never knew, I was never taught. The other layer of ignorance, I was taught and willfully chose to go against it. So here we are as believers. If you don't know that God only created two and not 112, then you might be predominantly decision-making on the 112. But there are only two. Turn to somebody and say, there's only two. Male and female. Amen. Now today we want to talk about what a woman needs. How many of you know the difference between...
Yes.
How many of you know there's a difference between a need and a want?
Amen.
How many of you want a new pair of shoes?
Every day.
How many of you need a new pair of shoes? Oh, we do have some.
Definitely not.
Cody, you don't need a new pair of shoes. There's a difference between a want and a need. A need is something you can, literally you cannot live without. You have to have it to make it, to survive, to be able to be productive. A want is something that is just nice to have. It's nice to, you know, whether it's an upgrade or it's just nice, but it's not a need. Today we don't want to talk about wants. We want to talk about needs, which means if a woman does not get what we're going to talk about today, then she cannot make it in the relationship.
Oh, amen.
Say it one more time. If a woman does not get what we're going to talk about today in her relationship, they are needs.
Yeah.
Then she is not going to make it in that relationship. Now, the challenge is if you don't know, then there's no way for you to do it. So that's why we're here today. We're going to share with you some needs that a woman has to have in her life, whether it's marriage, whether it's friendship, whether it's even at work. There are certain things that a woman needs to have relationship. Get Rhonda Jean.
So we're going to talk today about what a woman needs, and that is important to you. Because Psalms 133 tells us it's especially important in the union of marriage. It's important in all avenues, but in the union of marriage, in Psalms 133, it talks about where there's unity, there is the commanded blessing. And we want to walk in the commanded blessing. So there's some things we need to do for unity. And maybe you didn't know, like Pastor said beforehand, and that's why we're being faithful in the house of God to teach about relationships. So today we're going to talk about what women need.
Now, what's powerful about what women need is, women and men, the one thing to recognize is that you're never going to have somebody of the opposite sex actually fulfill you.
Oh, yes. Oh, absolutely, oh. Pastor Spencer.
Whoa.
That is so good. So too many times we think another person will complete us.
Did you see her come out of that chair? I got scared.
Many times as women, we think we need our husbands to fulfill our emotional needs. And that's where we can hold them hostage to something they're not even capable of doing. They are not capable of meeting your emotional needs. Not even if they try their very best. And you want to know why? Because God has reserved that spot. He didn't mess up when he created man and woman so differently. And when he created a man not to be able to fulfill that spot. Because if a man could complete a woman, we would never search any further. God has left that spot of need, emotional need for himself. It's like a homing beacon so that you would find him. Otherwise, we wouldn't even go any further than a man. So ladies, you do not need your emotions met by a man. God is the one, the only one that can do that and fulfill you in that.
Not only that, it's really the opposite sex will never fulfill you. God never called a male or female to be the sundae. They called them to be the cherry on top. You see, Christ is the one who really can meet every need that we have, male and or female. And the difficulty is when we try to replace God with another human being, you're going to find absolute failure in front of you. Our needs are to be met by God first. And then the person that we implant in our life, or God puts in our life, male or female, in the aspect of your gender, then at that point, that person becomes the cherry on top of your relationship, does not become the essence of your relationship. When you're looking for the opposite sex to fulfill you, you are always doomed.
Yeah, disappointed.
Amen.
Amen.
Say it one more time. Amen.
Amen.
So if you're single, you're in the greatest place you could ever be. Because that means you're going to be absolutely fulfilled in your relationship because you have Christ. And when God brings somebody, if he brings somebody in your life, if you have a desire, God will bring somebody in your life. But when that person comes, you're going to go, the cherry on top.
Yeah.
That's nice. But I don't need you.
Amen.
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 Absolutely.
So one of the things, I'm sorry, go.
So Pastor, what women need is what you're going to talk about. But I know the number one need of a woman, and that is for you to decide where we're going to go for dinner. Right, ladies? Come on. How many of you know that's the truth? All right. Sorry. But for real.
It's just so warped.
But please.
Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25 says this, for husbands, this means love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and he gave himself for her. I want to remind you that you and I as men have been called to love ladies. Now, we've not been called, the ladies have never been told in the scripture to love their man. Isn't that interesting? The ladies, God created you in such a masterful way. He actually created you as a reciprocatory creature. What does that mean? That means you're responsive.
Yes.
That means when the man loves the woman properly, she will automatically respond to that love with respect.
Yes.
Husbands, I have horrible news for all of us. And I hate to speak it out loud because I have to hear it. Are you ready? Whenever there's a problem in our marriage, it's our fault. Boy, ladies, you missed your moment.
Oh,
that's
my.
All I know. Whenever there's a problem in your marriage, men, it's your fault.
Amen.
It means that you're not meeting the woman's need with love properly. Because if a woman is loved properly, as Christ loves the church, then you will find without any reservation, she will automatically respond out of respect. They are responsive creatures, and God created them that way. And I challenge you as men to put these three principles that we're going to talk about here into priority in your life, in your relationships with the lady. And when you do that, you will find God turn your relationship around if it's negative. And if it's already positive, it can only get gooder. That's my word. You can't take it. All right? Turn to someone and say, I want the gooder. Amen. I want to remind you that the number one thing that, here we go, affection, here we go. Number one need of a woman is affection.
Amen.
I didn't say sex.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Many times when men think about affection, we're thinking about sex. I want you to know they're different.
Yes.
Sex and affection are different. Women need affection.
Affection.
They need to be cherished. Amen.
Amen.
They need to be treated as they are the princess in your life.
Amen.
or the queen in your life. They need to be valued. Many times, we value many other things but our relationships. What's that, my love? She's. What are you saying?
I'm quoting some things.
What are you saying? What are you... Oh, you want to talk about my Harley? Okay. One day, I'm polishing my Harley Davidson.
For hours.
Now, chrome is beautiful. Can I hear an amen from the men? Chrome is beautiful.
Hours. And
those days, you know, I'm shining up that chrome and making sure the paint is just beautiful. I've waxed that bike at least twice, and I'm talking in a row, and then polishing all the chrome, and she walks out, she says, I wish I was a Harley. How many of you remember the first PDAs that Apple put out? They were called the message pad. Yes, you're aging yourself if you actually raise your hand. I bought one, and I'm learning how to use it. I'm sitting on the couch for hours. I'm talking like hours, and all of a sudden she walks out, she says, I wish I was a message pad.
You give your time and attention to what you cherish and value.
And if you really want to know what that is, look at your wallet. Where you put your time and your money is ultimately what you truly cherish. And if your spouse is not in that, if your spouse is number 26, that's why you got marriage problems. You know, the truth is that women must have affection. Now listen, I wasn't taught this. My home was one where there was very little affection in it. And I had to learn this. And I learned this the hard way. Because I had to get in and figure out what to do. Because my marriage was bad. For the first, I say two, she says four. But it was a struggle. Because I really didn't know how to treat her. I didn't understand what it means to love. How many of you grew up in a dysfunctional home? Everyone's hand goes up twice. Because we all grew up in dysfunction. What's that song? Dysfunction, function, watching. I know it's conjunction, junction. But dysfunction, function. We struggle because you only know what you know. Amen? And you can only live what you know. So if you don't know, then your level of success is only to the level of your knowledge.
Yes.
So the need to be educated on what women need, not want, what they need, and then to realize it. But there's something beyond realizing. There's something called doing.
Yeah.
You see, you can learn this need, but if you don't do this need, then your wife is still not going to respect you to the level that you desire.
Amen.
You must show a woman that she's valuable, that she's important, that she's wanted, that she's desired, and she's more important than anything to you than a Harley.
Yes.
A golf club.
Easily.
Work.
Easily.
Friends.
Amen.
Your sport.
Ooh.
How valuable is your spouse to you? How valuable is that important person in your life? If you're not showing them value, then they'll never feel affection because that it is what it is. Now, you see, there's some basics on how to show affection. This is what I've learned to do.
And we have Pastor Spencer sharing this portion because honestly, he didn't start out great with this, but he is so good at showing affection. He daily and continuously shows affection. So that's why he's sharing this portion, because he does it so good.
Stop. Do you remember when you were dating? You couldn't wait to get together and kiss?
No, ew. Not that face.
That was bad? You didn't just kiss, you French kissed, Spanish kissed. I don't know what that means, but you know, it's got to be bad. You know, you kissed each other. You couldn't wait to be near and kiss her face. And
oh, my word. But kiss me nice. That is not affection.
The funny part is after you've been married, how many people stop kissing? It's amazing how many spouses stop kissing. It's amazing how they're no longer showing affection. Do you remember when you were dating? You couldn't wait to hug her.
It's my favorite.
Do you know what this does for me?
Nothing.
Nothing. In fact, when you're hugging, you're really thinking about the box. You wonder if you're going to get the box out of this.
The fun one? Oh, I thought he meant the fun one.
So the issue is that a woman needs to feel affection. Actually, they did research and they said that if you hug for 3 minutes, that chemicals that are released in the female's body equal that of an antidepressant.
That's why I'm so happy.
You'd be blown away how many couples no longer hug. How many couples no longer kiss? You know why, guys? You chased her. You couldn't wait to be with her. Then you won. Now you don't hug her anymore. You don't kiss her anymore. You don't tell her you love her anymore. All of these are key components to affection. A woman needs these.
And listen, I understand that it's not natural and it's not something that just comes to you like, oh, I should be doing this. For a guy, it's something you have to put effort for and you have to work towards. But you put gas in your car, right? But you don't love gasoline. You don't like go out and grab a glass of gasoline and drink gasoline because you love it so much. No, that's not natural. But yet you will take that car to a gas station and put gas. You will pay your good money to put that gas in the car. You'll take your time. You'll even go out of your way if it's not on a direct route home to put gas in that car so that car will get you where you want to go. It's the same thing with affection. It might not come natural for you, but it might even cost you a little bit of money. It might cost you a little extra time. But if you want to go where you want to go, you need to put gas in the car so it will get you there.
And even when your car is cold, you still got to put gas in it.
Amen.
In fact, if you put gas in your cold car, I'm listening, men.
It'll
if you
warm
put
up.
Gas in your cold car, you can put the heat on. Amen. Steady. So here we are. You need to be able to show affection to your spouse. You need to be able to go get her coffee. Now, listen, now, we started doing this, I don't remember how many years ago, and things change over time. But I used to just get her a cup of coffee in the morning, bring it to her in bed. Now we're into this water thing, and we're drinking 20 ounces of water in the morning. So first thing I do is I go upstairs, and I get 20 ounces of water. Then I bring it downstairs. If she's down in the bed or if she's up in the living room, I'll bring it to her. She'll drink it. Then I go out, and I brew the coffee. And after I brew the coffee, I bring her a cup of coffee, and I say, here you go, Ron. And she goes, thank you. I love you. And I'm going to love you, too. And then off I go. You know, I'm going to the man cave, and she's going into the living room. We're spending time with Jesus together. But you see, even as simple as that, that is showing your wife, showing the lady in your life that she is special to you, that you're showing affection to her. That does something.
Yes.
She needs that. She doesn't want it. She needs it. It is the gasoline for her car, for the relationship. And as a guy, this is foreign to us.
Yeah.
We won. You got me. The best prize you could ever have.
It's true.
But it's got to go beyond that.
Yep.
This is where we continue to invest, continue to put gas in the car. This is not about winning her down the aisle. This is about a lifestyle to where your children, come on now, moms and dads, your kids are going to show and literally parrot how you parent. Not just how you parent, how you marriage. So if you are not affectionate, you can't expect your children to be affectionate.
Pastor, Can I just say, too, is I think some people might be sitting in the room thinking, well, that's not me. I don't really. You might even be a man thinking, well, my wife doesn't need that. Or you might be the female and you shut that off in your life. It is still a need. And if you start to show affection, you're going to change some key components in your relationship. And that car is going to go a lot further, a lot longer if you take care of it.
Now, here's an easy one, gentlemen. Ready? Come here, honey. Are you nervous? She's nervous. You ready? You're walking in the mall, or you're in your car. You go just like this.
I love that, too.
I didn't say I loved it. I'm doing this for you.
I know. I'm aware every time, actually.
We'll walk down the mall and we'll hold hands walking down the mall. You know what it does for me? You know what it does for her?
Everything.
I love you.
Yeah, say it. Thank you. That's affection. Thank you. Mindy, fix your face. No, that is not affection. Might get you there.
Here's a key. Here's the key, gentlemen. If you're showing affection to get into the sex box, you lose. Ladies were slow on that one. This is all you thought it. Sorry, Abe. Don't hit me. This is where you learn that it's not about this, but about meeting her needs.
Amen.
And then because the woman is reciprocatory, because she's automatically responsive, she will respond in this value. It's a domino effect in your life. Now, another need that a woman must have is she must feel safe and secure.
Amen.
If a woman does not feel safe and secure, now listen, that does not mean you live in a mansion.
That's right.
That does not mean that you have nice cars. Safety and security means that she knows you're going to take care of her.
Yeah.
A woman will live in a shack as long as they feel safe and secure.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
A woman will be satisfied as long as they know they have a man in their life that is going to protect them and keep them safe.
Amen.
My wife and I went through a struggle for a period of time because people were saying things about her, and it wasn't that I was agreeing with them, but I wasn't defending her. And she said to me, do you remember what you said to me?
I don't know.
Yeah, she mean.
Scary,
she got mean.
I don't know.
She said to me, wow, that's nice. I don't have anybody protecting me. It must feel good to be able to protect all the people, but not to protect your own wife. Be
I
nice.
I probably did say that.
No, you did. And I never thought of it that way. But a woman needs to feel protected, and a woman needs to feel safe. You know, like I said, when we hugged, you see, when you hug your wife, gentlemen, when you hug your wife and she nestles down and all of a sudden you hear her take that breath, that means she feels safe. When that breath is not there, she still doesn't feel safe. There's a key to bringing this need alive in your wife. The greatest way to bring this need alive in your wife is to love Jesus.
Amen. Men, the most attractive thing that you can be is in love with Jesus. It is the most security that you can provide for your wife. When all the world is up and down, if we see that you have a relationship with God, it brings balance to everything. It brings safety and security. Come on, women. The most attractive thing. Listen, it will just melt the hardest heart watching your man open up his word, pray, stand up and worship. It is the most attractive thing that you can have. It is the safest and most secure thing that you can provide for your wife. You might not be able to provide a mansion or luxury or those other things, but you provide a man that loves God, and it brings absolute safety and security to our lives. And listen, if you're single in this room, let me give you a little tip. You will become the most attractive and eligible bachelor in the house.
Or bachelor.
If you What's that?
Nothing good.
If you are in love with Jesus, it makes you the most attractive. It will melt. I mean, man, there is nothing more attractive than when a man loves God. Right, ladies?
Now, you know this is true because you've seen those guys in church. They're dog ugly, but they got a beautiful bride. And you look at him and go, how in the world did he ever get somebody that attractive? Remember, we had a lady in our church at one point in time. She said, she came up to me, she goes, I'm watching this guy and I really love him. And she says, you know, I just love the way he prays. And they actually got married. And he kind of backslid for a while. And when he backslid, she walked away. Because the most attractive thing in her life was the God inside of him. Now God was absent. And she saw his true ugliness. Gentlemen, the most powerful thing you can provide in safety and security is that you are a stable believer who loves Jesus more than anything else in your life.
Amen.
If you will do that,
amen.
I want you to know that your wife, that as an eligible bachelor, women are going to watch you. They're going to line up to get near you. Why? Because women love to see a man that is stable in his walk with the Lord. And when you get that, I want you to know, it is not macho, macho man. I want to be a macho man. So many men don't follow God because they think it's not macho. Listen, anybody, all men can follow another man down the same river. It takes a real man to swim upstream.
Amen. Amen.
You got to be willing to truly follow God. That means you're not going to be accepted by the world. You're not going to do what they do. You're not going to say, listen, you can't go drop the F-bombs with them. You know, that's not cool. It takes a real man to stand up.
And listen, ladies, when your man starts opening his Bible or starts holding your hand or starts showing you affection, don't you dare yell at them or repel them because you just heard that in Sunday service. Please, come on, celebrate it rather than repelling it. Give them opportunity. It will change everything around. So don't say, oh, you're only doing that because pastor said to do that on Sunday. No, celebrate it. It's going to turn everything around in your relationship.
Men are trainable.
They are.
Ladies, if you don't train your man, you're in trouble. Train your man. Gentlemen, you must, without question, they need you to cherish them. Show them that affection. They need safety and security. They need you to be stable in your walk with God. They need you stable in your emotions. They need you stable in coming to the house of the Lord, showing spiritual authority in their relationship. Do you realize how many women have had to step up to be the spiritual authority in their life because the men do not? That's probably the number one complaint that I actually get. That's the number one complaint I get about marriage from a lady is I'm sick and tired of having to do his job as being the spiritual head of the home. I challenge you, men, to know God.
Amen.
This is a need for your lady. Amen. She must have a strong man of God in her life.
Amen. Amen. And next, a woman needs to communicate, to be listened to. And guys, actually, ladies, let me help you out. Because sometimes we are the ones that omit ourselves from this by not being interested in the things that our husband does, not being interested and not being willing to participate, like motorcycle. When he first started riding motorcycle, I hated motorcycle. I was terrified. I was afraid of a bicycle,
okay,
let alone
I gotta tell
a motorcycle.
A story. I got to tell a story. Now, they lived in Lindley, her and her brother, Chad Mays. And Chad put her on the front handlebars, and they went down what's called Lover's Lane. Now, you need to know that's straight down the mountain. And they went barreling down that mountain.
With a cliff on the end, by the
way. And the cliff on the end, and he dumped the bicycle before she got to the end, and they both have gravel in their elbows from that accident. So when I said, we're going to go motorcycle riding, she said, I don't think so.
So I wasn't something I was interested in, but guess what? When I ride with him, I get to chat his ear off. I get to communicate for hours and hours and hours. I have a captive audience. I ride bicycle with him. I can chat his ear off. I cannot stand playing golf. I do not have a long enough attention span to play the sport of golf. I'm sorry, but my husband likes to play golf. So guess what? I don't play, but I go with him and I chat his ear off the entire time he's there.
Four.
Because I need communication. Yeah, that might be the problem with your golf game. I'm sorry. But I need communication, so I put myself in a place where I can communicate with my husband. I just don't tell him, oh yeah, go off and do that, go off and do that. Go. Now when he goes to Dick's Sporting Goods, I do make him go in himself because it's just, I can't. What is the other? Oh, hunting. I could never kill anything, ever. Like, it's just not my personality. I couldn't hurt anything. It's not what I do. But my husband hunts. So guess what? You're going to find me out there hunting, too, sitting with him just so I can be with him. Now
That's why I don't kill any deer.
I get in trouble for that, too, because I can't stop chatting
Quiet.
His ear off.
Quiet!
But we have a need for communication. So ladies, you can help yourself meet this need by simply putting yourself where your husband is, getting into his likes and his desires. And you know, he even remunerates that by doing the things I love to do. He hates fishing, and I love fishing.
I hate fishing.
And yesterday, he took me out fishing, and we spent time together, and I chatted his ear off.
And we did the normal. I caught nothing.
So we have a need for communication. And all of these needs, they might not be present right now, and they might not be met. But it's amazing. One action, one thing that the man does, a woman will automatically respond to. So we can start making marriages and relationships strong by paying attention to the needs of a woman. And it is a little bit of effort. And it might cost you a little bit of money. And it might cost you a little bit of time. It might not be natural and normal for you. But that car needs gasoline, and you have no problem putting gas in the car. So make sure you're putting gas into your relationship. And God is going to take those relationships to next level.
Now, there are certain things, and we're just going to go through these very quickly, that will destroy your woman. Number one, ignoring her destroys her. Now, what's amazing is when there's another woman in your life, it destroys your marriage, right?
Yes.
But there's a lot of other women in the man's life that's not a woman.
Amen.
I met a woman whose husband was an alcoholic, and to her, the booze was the other woman.
Yeah.
I knew a man who worked so much that he was never home. Work became the other woman.
Yeah.
You cannot ignore your wife and think that you're going to have a good relationship.
Amen.
Gentlemen. Gentlemen.
Women. Amen.
Gentlemen, you cannot ignore your wife and think you're going to have a good relationship.
And don't be deceived in thinking it doesn't matter. Listen, that commanded blessing comes from the unity of your relationship. It matters. It matters.
You cannot value other things more than her. If you're a guy that loves to work on cars, goes out into the garage, and you're out there for after you get out in an 8-hour day, you're out there for another 4 or 5 hours, and you walk in the house at 9 o'clock at night and ask where supper is, brother, there's no wonder you ain't getting no sex.
And listen, if you were out under a car for 4 hours, I'd be getting my little wheelie thing and sliding under and working on it with you.
That's why the car wouldn't work.
Can't get rid of me.
So you got to value, you can't value other things more than her. Number three, you can't have your trust broken. You got to keep trust. Number four, you can't make them feel worthless. You know, there are a lot of men who say bad things to their spouse. Verbal abuse is worse. I won't say worse. I don't think there's a word. Physical abuse, some people say, well, I've never touched my wife. Oh, yeah, you have. Your words touched far. Sticks and stones will break my bones, but names will never hurt me is a lie. I've watched more women being told they were stupid, they were ugly, they were worthless, no value. The spoken word is a powerful knife. Bible says life and death are in the power of the tongue. And we cannot make our wives feel worthless. You can never touch her motherhood. Amen. Can't come against her motherhood. It's wrong. It's evil. Here's another one. Not allowing your wife to communicate her feelings.
So again, I kind of just make this one happen. Pastor and I have two different versions of this one. I believe that we need to communicate, but many times the man wants to fix it or interject or explain. So what I do to my husband is I pull up a chair and I sit in front of him and I ask him beforehand.
That's not true.
So perception is everything. So let me finish.
No.
I sit in front of him and I ask him. I tell him he doesn't. I let him off the hook. You don't even need to respond. You don't need to fix this. I don't even want you to say
now
anything.
Now let me tell you the way it really happens. She grabbed the chair out of the kitchen, out of the dining room, drug it into the living room, placed it in the middle of the floor. She says, get over here, sit down, and shut up. I got to talk to you.
That doesn't sound like me.
I don't need you to say anything. I just need you to listen to me. We don't even have a good relationship. Our relationship is horrible. She's telling me everything. I'm sitting there going, I thought we had a great relationship. I didn't even know anything was wrong. Can I hear an amen or oh my? All of a sudden, she's done her speech, which was loud. And she looks at me and she goes, I feel so much better. I'm laying there, cut up on the floor. And she walks away saying, I feel so much better.
And it was over. I was gone. I just needed to communicate.
But I learned that she needs to do that, so I let her do that. I don't have a choice.
So on all these things, it's like if I have an itch on this shoulder over here and you're scratching over here, it's doing nothing for the itch that I have. Today we've given you tools of, hey, honey, it's right over here. The itch is, no.
Stubborn men.
The itch is over here. Stubborn women. Thank you. If we're itching the right spot, it's going to solve a lot of things. So be equipped.
Gentlemen, I don't care where your marriage is, it can change today. Yeah. Say amen.
Amen.
What scripture? Have you ever been to the doctors before? They sit down and they tell you something that's wrong with your life. That's their job, and they do a good job. Can I hear an amen? We're in a great time of medicine. But yet they write a script. Now, my name is Dr. Michael Spencer, and I decided when I got my title through my earned degree, I decided that what I would do is write like a doctor. So you can't even understand my name. I have witnesses. You get a prescription, and on that script, you don't know what that prescription really is.
No,
you can't read it. But yet you go out and you spend money to fill it because you want to feel better. Mm-hmm. You'll take that medication. Some of you won't even research what the side effects are. And sometimes the side effects are actually worse than what you're going to get as a good effect. But the point is that you'll go out and you'll fill that script just simply because that's where you were directed to do. And you don't even ask a question. Some of you, your marriages are so ill, and we've given you a prescription this morning, but yet you have to go fill it. Yeah. And not everybody, sadly enough, is going to go fill the prescription. And they're going to blame the sickness. There's a cure for this sickness
Amen.
In your relationship.
Amen.
young men and young women who are not married. There's a cure that you need to make sure that you can get an inoculation so you don't need to have the sickness come into your relationship.
Amen.
You can learn these principles that God has made fearfully and wonderfully within every man and woman to where you can be a successful partner. You can be a successful husband, a successful wife. You can be somebody that will invest and truly be fulfilled in your relationships.
Amen.
Cherry on top, not Sunday.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen.
So I challenge you to be fulfilled. Now, this coming Sunday is Easter Sunday. Listen, everyone needs to fill your role. Turn to someone and say, fill your role.
Fill your role.
You need to get busy this week. They say 3 out of 5 that you invite will come to church if you invite them, especially on Easter and Christmas. You need to fill your role. We want it all the way to the back. We're going to have a gospel message that's just powerful. The week after Easter, we are preaching on what men want. Excuse me, not want, but what men need. What men need. So this week, what women need. Easter, and then what men need. Ladies, just like you have needs, men have needs that have to be fulfilled.
Amen? I love that you men are leading us, though, with this. You get to start filling the prescription. Start, guys. Lead.
I think we just got set up, man. We just got set up, man. But it's okay.
Yeah.
Now listen, if you are in a relationship but not married, if that person is not born again and you're not married, you need to know that the Bible says that you should not be unequally yoked with an unbeliever. Amen. The reason for that is because they're not going to be able to meet your needs as well as somebody who loves Jesus with all of their heart.
Yeah.
God has you, princess or prince, set up for somebody that is going to love God more than they love you. Amen. You will be the cherry and not the sundae.
Yeah.
Amen? Amen. Bow your head with me this morning. Father, we thank you that your word is practical. God, that you taught us how to have relationships, that you showed us, Lord, and you so created us that the needs, when they're met, bring great fulfillment. And Lord, we look to you to fill them first. We look to you to fill the emotional needs. We look to you to fill, oh God, the heart needs that we have. And Lord, when those people are feeling lonely, we pray, Lord Jesus, that you'll fill that loneliness cavity. That God, we don't need somebody to do that for us. Lord, we ask in the name of Jesus that if the marriages in this room that are struggling, that God, today, the man will start to act on how to bring health to their relationships. Lord, I just pray, Father, that you'll forgive us. Lord, for the times that we've just done whatever we knew, whatever we wanted to do, and God did not meet the needs of our spouse. Forgive us, God. And Lord, today we make a decision that we will meet their needs that you have placed within them, that Lord Jesus will be a true husband of God for them. In Jesus' name, Lord, with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you need God to be the Sunday in your life. You need God to bring fulfillment in your life. You've gone from person to person to person. You've gone from bar to bar to bar. You've gone from boyfriend to girlfriend, you back and forth all over the place, and you've never been able to be fulfilled. It's because you need to make Jesus your Sunday. And today, if you do not have Christ as your Sunday, he is not the Lord of your life. He is not the one that's washed your sins away. Today, I challenge you to make him the Savior of your life. So today, I'm just going to give you an opportunity. If you'd like to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you want to make him the Sunday so someday he can send the cherry. I want you to raise your hand this morning if you'd like to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Thank you, ma'am. You can put your hand right back down. Is there anyone else? I'm not going to wait long. Oh, thank you, sir. Thank you very much. Put your hand right back down. Is there anyone else this morning? I'm not going to wait long. 5. Thank you very much, young man. 4. 3. Last call. And 1. Let's all stand to our feet. I'm going to have the prayer team come to the front of the altar. This is Mindy. Mindy is going to pray with us for those that raise their hand for salvation. Can everybody turn to the person next to you and say, if you didn't raise your hand, I'll go up front with you if you'd like to go. Come on, turn to the person next to you and ask them, if you didn't raise your hand, but you'd like to give your heart to Jesus, I'll go with you.
This morning, if your relationship is in jeopardy, this morning, if you're the walking wounded as a husband and or wife, and you need God to start restoring your soul, the prayer team is here for that. If you would like right now, you would like to be saved, give your heart to Jesus. Mindy's going to be standing right here, and we want to pray with you. You're going to make the greatest decision of your life. Can I hear an amen? Praise the Lord. Father, I just release a blessing on His Tabernacle Family Church. God, the people of this house, Lord, whether they be marriages or one day will be married, I thank you that these principles, the principles of your creation, will saturate our hearts and our minds, that, Lord, we'll walk within them, that God will be able to meet the needs of the opposite sex for your glory and honor. Lord, we'll have a great marriage, that our children will say, I want a wedding and marriage just like yours. Lord, that we will truly show the greatness of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Bless us throughout the rest of this day and the rest of this week. Lord, let us bring so many people next week that, God, they give their hearts to the Lord too. And everybody said, amen. We love you. Have an awesome week. If you raise your hand for salvation, meet us right here, right now. Come right out of your chair. Meet us up front.
Holy Spirit.